T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I think he's the preeminent baseball man in America now, and that is Jared Carabas of Barstool. Jared, how you been?
You said America. I would say at this point is now the world, as I am now covering baseball in Korea and also in Taiwan.
Listen, I can't doubt you anymore. I mean, you pulled, I got to hand it to you, you pulled this exclusive sit-down with Bryce Harper. And not only that, because that's good enough. Great, you got Bryce Harper on. I thought it was outstanding. I thought it was so fascinating, especially him kind of going through the thought process in free agency and everything with the Nationals. For you, what was the biggest thing that jumped out at you from Bryce during your, you know, hour and a half discussion you had with him?
It was actually 2 hours. We got to like 1 hour and 15 minutes, and I gave him the out, basically. our producer was on the call. And he was like, "Hey guys, you're at 30 minutes. Hey guys, you're at 45 minutes. All right, you're at an hour. Let's be mindful of his time here." So at a buck 15, I was like, "Hey Bryce, you've been more than generous with your time." And he was like, "No, like I love this. Let's keep it going." And I was like, "Oh wow, okay, all right, let's keep it going." Then and we ended up at 2 hours. So he was super into it. I think like that was probably the biggest thing for us, was that he wanted to do it. I think he's been wanting to do something like this for a while.
Right.
I just kind of like get that hunch by how willing he was to do it. And then, you know, obviously him wanting to continue when we gave him the chance to end it. And then how candid he was. I think, you know, that's a guy that doesn't do a lot of media, has never sat down and done an interview of that length, like talking about all the different things that he talked about. So, I think the free agency process was probably the most interesting thing, because guys usually don't, for whatever reason, they don't want to talk about the teams that were in on them that they didn't sign with. They don't want to talk about the process with the team that they left in fear of, you know, throwing shade at the fan base that, you know, probably you could make the case that the Nationals fan base probably, you know, loves Bryce the most because he was theirs for 7 years or whatever it was. But he was totally open about all that stuff. And it, like you said, it was fascinating to hear him, like in his own words, how it went down.
You know, it's also, and I know it's tough, and I thought he did a good job of handling this. No one's going to feel bad for a guy who's offered $150 or $200 million. But I thought he did a good job of explaining why he was insulted by the Nationals and bothered by them, even though, yes, in real-world money, it's a ton of money. It is. But the deferrals that they were offering and the fact that you want to get paid what you're worth. But I wonder, you tell me, how do you think national fans overall took it? Because he did express he wanted to be there, did express the beauty of spending his whole career with one team, but was pretty honest about the money situation. How do you think national fans take it from what they heard from Bryce?
I think if you're looking at it objectively as a Nationals fan, you can't be upset with how things went down. Like, yes, did the Nationals make Bryce Harper an offer in free agency? Yeah, they did. But it wasn't what he was looking for. And it wasn't about total dollars. It was about deferred money. Like, he didn't want to be paid until he's 80 years old. He wanted his money, and he wanted it now. And there were other teams that were willing to do that for him. And obviously the Phillies came in, and he didn't want any opt-outs. He wanted to go somewhere where he knew it was going to be home, and he didn't have to. You know, he talked about how, and this is kind of true and very bizarre at the same time, when he was on the SI cover at the age of 16, He made one comment about, you know, I want to be in the Hall of Fame. I want to be in pinstripes. So then from day one, a year before he got drafted, people were already talking about where he was going in free agency. So he had to field questions about where are you going? Where are you going? I mean, people didn't even know where he was. I mean, by then they did know he was probably going to go to the Nationals as a 1-1 in the draft. But they were talking about his free agency starting at the age of 16. So for him, he was kind of done with that. He didn't want to worry about the questions of where am I going to go. And so he chose a place where, A, I'm going to get my money and I'm going to get it during the years that I'm playing Major League Baseball, and I don't want to go anywhere. I want to like dig my roots here. And he said, I think he said in the press conference, he said, I want to be here through the good times and the bad times. And that's, you know, he got the exact situation that he was looking for.
He's such an interesting guy, and it's similar a little bit to Strasburg, that they came up with such an insane amount of hype. I mean, Steven Strasburg's first Major League start was on national TV. Everyone's making a big deal out of it, and he was great. He struck out a bunch of guys in that game. And you mentioned with Bryce, he's on SI when he's 16. He's in the majors when he's 19. He came in with a hype that was going to be almost impossible to match. As we sit here today, you know, he's 27 years old. He's won an MVP. What do you make of the career so far, Bryce Harper?
I mean, I don't think, like, when Bryce was on the cover of SI, I think Mike Trout became the player that we thought Bryce Harper would be.
Yes.
But I don't think that Bryce Harper has, obviously not been a flop. Like, his 2015 MVP season has been tremendous. And, I mean, there's a reason why he got paid $330 million. He's an outstanding baseball player. But when we see the SI cover and we see the YouTube video of Bryce hitting the 502-foot home run at Tropicana Field when he's, like, 15 years old, we think the LeBron James of baseball.
But right.
Mike Trout, in fairness, became the LeBron James of baseball. I mean, that dude was just straight up created in a lab somewhere. But in terms of Bryce Harper's career, I mean, I think he has been, he became a superstar. I mean, there's been plenty of top prospects, and, you know, we've seen amateur players that they, you know, we get all this hype surrounding them. We're now seeing that kid, I don't know what his last name is, Luke something. The kid that's been blowing up the internet for like the past few weeks because he's a JUCO pitcher that throws 105.
Right.
I mean, like, the expectation, like, you know, if he gets taken in the draft, everyone's going to be like, oh, he's the next Aroldis Chapman. And it's like, well, out of all the pitches that dude has thrown that have gone viral, I haven't seen a strike yet. So we'll see. But with Bryce Harper, I do think that there's this element of, if you're not the best player in baseball, then you didn't live up to the hype. And if you're not this one of these top tier guys, then, you know, you didn't live up to the hype. And with Bryce, I mean, there's no doubt about it. You can't debate he's a superstar. Like, there's no debating whether or not he's a superstar, and there's also no debate that Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. So I think it can be both.
Yeah, it's funny. He's got Bryce Harper that is a Hall of Fame trajectory. That's the way things are looking right now. Yet I think to a lot of people, they look at him as a disappointment. And a part of that is he came in with the hype. Like you said, he had to be the best player in baseball. He's not the best player in baseball. He's probably not top five, but is he an all-star every year? Pretty much. Does he hit 30 home runs and drive in 100 runs and have a high like 880, 900 OPS every year? He does. He's won an MVP. So he's really, really good. But to your point, I think the hype was he's got to be the best, and he's not the best. That's just the problem.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even just getting to the top of the mountain once, like having, like, if you have this kid who's 16 years old, like, think about the players that are 18, and then in college you get these 20, 21-year-olds that you're taking in the draft. Baseball is by far the most difficult sport to project talent in, and to identify this kid when he was 16 and then have him go on to win an MVP, I don't think he really needed to do anything else ever to be like, yeah, no, he kind of fulfilled the prophecy. Like, he was the best player in the league, and we knew that way back when he was in high school. So I think, of course, he needs to it would be nice if he continued to do that into his 30s, and if he achieved even more individual accolades. And, you know, he was 1 year off from winning a World Series, and who knows in what way he would have contributed to that title. Like, maybe Bryce goes off in that postseason the way that A-Rod did in 2009, and then there leaves no debate. It's like, all right, well, you know, he won an MVP, and he won a World Series title where he got drafted, and he was a big reason why they won the World Series then. Because the way that I kind of look at contracts is, say, like the CC Sabathia contract, when he first comes to the Yankees, and they win in that first year, and then they don't win again for the duration of his Yankee tenure, I don't care what you paid Sabathia. If you win one title during the duration of like a big contract, I think it's worth it. Just to get one. So if Bryce Harper gets drafted first round, first overall by the Nationals, and he's there for the 7 years, make it eight, say he's there in 2019, then I think he fulfilled the prophecy, because you give him, you know, the MVP in 2015, and then if he goes off in the postseason and wins you a World Series, I don't think it matters what he does for the rest of his career.
By the way, I think you're mostly right, and we're talking to Jared Carrabas, but I don't think Yankee fans agree with you. I think they need more than one World Championship. I think their bar is a little bit higher. They need multiple championships.
It can't be, Evan, because, you know, if you want to be the big bad Yankees that brag about World Series rings, most of them were won before, like, the color television. So I think to be this organization, it's like, well, one isn't good enough. We're the Yankees. It's like, well, no, you used to be like that. Now you'll take the one because, I mean, imagine if, like, think about the Yankees' sort of history here. If they don't win in 2000, now we're going back to, like, the 90s is the last time that they've won a World Series besides the one that they get in 09. It's not like that anymore. Like, the Yankee fan attitude of big bad Yankees with the 27 rings, no one cares.
Well, but wait a second. Here's where Jared,
if you don't win enough, like recently, then no one cares about what like your grandfather saw.
No, so but forget about
Yankee
the
fans right now are the schoolyard bully that basically weighs like 110 pounds soaking wet. Like,
Jared, they're the favorites to win the World Series. They weigh more than 110 pounds. They're at least 210, and they have a six-pack right now.
Go out and do it.
Well, there needs to be a baseball season. But look, the point is not what it should be. First of all, the late 90s dynasty, which most people remember if you're over the age of 30. If you're under the age of 30, sure, you don't really remember it. I think that's why the bar is set that high. Not necessarily what Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig did and what Joe DiMaggio did, but the witnessing of that late 90s dynasty, that the bar is, you got to win me multiple titles. I don't think A-Rod is beloved by Yankee fans because they only won once.
I don't know. I feel like A-Rod's approval rating in amongst the Yankee fan base is pretty high. But I don't know. I don't think you can't hold on to 90s World Series titles in 2020. There are so many Yankee fans right now that don't even have memories of those championships because, you know, like look at Hubs. How old was Hubs when the Yankees were winning titles in the mid to late 90s?
How old is he? I don't know. You tell me. How old is he?
He was probably single digit age.
Yeah. So, then you don't remember it.
Yeah. Like, you've got these, like, college kids and these kids that are, like, 20, 24, 25, around there. They don't remember they like to talk about them because it's easy to reference championships that your team has won that you root for. They don't remember them. They have 2009. That's it. Like, the younger generation, they have one ring, but they'll cite the other 26. And it's like, good for you, dude. I can remember winning four. I was there for all of them.
I know. I'm jealous of that, too. I got zero, bro. I got none. Yeah. I don't have any to talk about or remember.
I know.
We were talking to Yankee fans this week, and I'm curious your perspective as a Red Sox guy on their most hated opponent. You know, sports hate, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very close between Poppy and Pedro Martinez. Very, very close. In your opinion, as you know, someone from the other side, as someone that adores David Ortiz and Pedro, what's your perspective on who you think Yankee fans should dislike the most?
Oh, Pedro. I mean, like, Ortiz, it's more of like, so I think if you're going to do Ortiz and Pedro, then the opposite would be Jeter and A-Rod. So, like, Red Sox fans, we booed Derek Jeter But it's because, like, he was so good. It's because, right. like, we respected him. And it was like, yeah, like, he does everything perfect. That's David Ortiz. Like, David Ortiz didn't do anything to the Yankees. All he did was just shove their face in the dirt for every postseason matchup that there was. But with Pedro, I mean, not only do you respect him because he's the greatest pitcher who ever lived, but also, I mean, he threw Don Zimmer to the ground. There's a reason to hate Pedro if you're a Yankee fan. And with A-Rod, everyone just hated him because, you know, he's slapping the ball, the fight with Veritek, the PEDs. I mean, there's plenty of reasons to not like A-Rod. But
I'm actually
an A-Rod fan. I'm an A-Rod fan.
Really? Yeah. And have you always been an A-Rod fan, or is that a new fond fanness that you have?
I mean, if Twitter and Barstool existed back, if it were 2003 right now, I would have been the conductor of the A-Rod to Boston train, like when all that was going down.
Sure, but then it doesn't happen. And now he's your rival and he's punching Jason Varitek. So things change quickly.
Right. No, things definitely change quickly. I mean, I hated him when he was with the Yankees as a player. And then I think like one of the better things that I've ever written was when A-Rod retired, I wrote about his entire career and just like told the story of I guess just kind of like the intricacies of his career and him just wanting to be, it was basically the opposite of Jeter,
right.
Where A-Rod was obviously the better player, but he just wanted to be liked and he never was. And Jeter lived this like perfect, you know, personal life and all that. And it, there was, you know, he obviously had like the girlfriends and everything, but there was no drama really with Jeter. It was just, yeah, he dates supermodels and actresses and all that stuff. And that's great. But with A-Rod, that was just a guy that would go to great lengths just to be liked.
Yeah.
And in the process of doing that, he cost himself the one thing that he truly wanted, and that was to be liked. Everyone hated him for what he did.
Well, and the other thing that affected him, especially in New York, is he just, for the most part, was not clutch. I mean, he had that great first-round series against Minnesota in 04, but you remember what happened, obviously, in 04 against the Red Sox. He became the face of the collapse. Right or wrong, he became the face of it. And then in 05, he's the face of losing to the Angels, and he's the face in being dropped in the order in 06 to batting eighth against the Tigers.
Yeah.
He became the face of the Yankees' early round exits. And a lot of it was because he wasn't good in those spots, rightfully so.
Yeah, yeah, I think with A-Rod in 04, it was kind of unfairly he was the face of it. I mean, if he doesn't slap Arroyo's glove and, like, the image of him standing at second base being like, what? I was just running. Like,
yes.
That's what made him the face of it. But that
yes.
was a collective, unified collapse. Like,
it was.
I obviously think of that moment, but I don't think of just A-Rod. I mean,
no.
I think of across, like, Kevin Brown. Kevin Brown punching phones and everything and getting
yes.
shelled and Javier Vasquez, like, looking up at the second deck where he gave up his second home run to Damon. Like, there's plenty of guys that had their moments. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think with A-Rod, I can at least appreciate that all he ever wanted was to be liked and to be, you know, a guy that looked up to Cal Ripken Jr., like, oh, like, shortstops can't be that big. They're going to eventually move over to third base. And then seeing Ripken as his like idol and mentor and wanting to be that big shortstop and then and going to Texas. And it's like, all right, well, whatever. I'll just take the most money because that's what Scott Boras says. And then you obviously get into the PED stuff and trying to justify the contract in Texas. And I think where A-Rod made the wrong turn wasn't so much taking the PEDs. It was just like almost like the sociopathic behavior of lying about it on these interviews, like looking into the camera and addressing
yeah.
these people super seriously.
Yeah.
I think that's where the turn was made. And I honestly think that if he had just come out originally and admitted it the second that he got caught and gave the reason that he eventually did give, and it's like, hey, like I was a young kid and, you know, it was happening back then. It was before testing, like 03, 04 was before testing. And I just wanted to live up to that contract. That's really all it comes down to. And then people would have been like, yeah,
but Jarity got caught again.
It wasn't illegal and you wanted to live up to the biggest contract in professional sports. Yeah, that makes sense.
But he got caught again. That was the big problem. I mean, he did it twice.
Right. It's the lying. So like,
yeah.
I don't think it's the act of taking PEDs. I think it's the act of trying to make it seem like, no, I did it all on my own. And
right.
Blah, 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 blah. Like, that's really what turned people off. People don't like liars.
You're not going to like this, but here's the truth, because I think the comparison you made of Pedro to A-Rod is a fair one when it comes to just, you know, the actions and not just respecting your opponent. I think there's a lot of Yankee fans that believe David Ortiz is a cheater. A lot of people look at him and say he doesn't get the same you-know-what as others who were accused or on the supposed-to-be anonymous list of PED users. There's none of that on Jeter. I mean, Jeter really is kind of the perfect guy. Well, what is there on Jeter?
The year he was like 38 years old and randomly led the league in hits.
Stop.
And then it was the same year that he had the same trainer as Peyton Manning, the year that he got ACH into his house.
This is in your brain. No one really thinks this.
Google it. No,
I don't mean it didn't exist. I mean, no one believes Derek Jeter did PEDs. That's what I mean by it's in your brain.
Of course, because he's Derek Jeter. If Derek Jeter was on the Brewers, then of course that people would be like, huh, that's an interesting little connection. 38 years old, randomly has 216 hits, gets the same trainer as Peyton Manning in the same year that Peyton Manning gets caught with HGH shipments.
Come on.
Evan.
What?
Nothing that I just said was an opinion. Those are facts.
No. I understand, but the view of David Ortiz is that he failed a drug test, right? Is that not what happened?
Rob Manfred said that test was BS.
But the view of Yankee fans, see, you're missing the point here. Yankee fans view David Ortiz as a guy who did PEDs. Do Red Sox fans view Derek Jeter as a guy who did PEDs because of what happened in 2012? Because he hit 316 that year? Or is that just saying it as a counter?
I think that the whole anonymous test with David Ortiz is made a much bigger deal of than the link between the trainer that Jeter and Manning shared in the same year that Manning got caught getting HGH shipments.
Which New York Yankee do you despise the most?
I don't hate any Yankee besides maybe Kareem Garcia. Like, who is he?
That's the guy? Kareem Garcia? Because he's fighting with a security guard in right field or whatever that was?
That was Nelson, I think.
Oh, that, but wasn't Kareem Garcia there, I think?
Yeah, he probably ran out there because he's a bum.
You're funny.
I think, like, the all-time great Yankees, like, I'm not your prototypical Red Sox fan that's like, oh, I hate the Yankees and all their players. I like A-Rod. I respect Jeter. Bernie Williams, like, when he was a free agent, I wanted him to come to the Red Sox. I mean, Andy Pettit, love Andy Pettit. Mariano Rivera, like, I like all those guys. Like, I'm not your run-of-the-mill, well, if they're a Yankee, then they're a Yankee for life, and I hate them. Like, that's just not how I operate.
I got you.
I'm a baseball fan, Evan.
I am a baseball fan, too. I'm going to give you someone I can't stand. I'm curious your take on him, because you definitely have an opinion on him. And that is Roger Clemens. I can't stand Roger Clemens, and all I think of is the shard bat that he threw at Mike Piazza with no answer of, I thought it was the ball. Give me a break. You thought it was the ball. Jared, don't defend him, Jared. Don't try this.
That was the ball.
He thought a bat was the ball. He thought a shard bat. And then, okay, great. Why is he throwing the ball at Piazza then? Why is he whipping the baseball at Mike Piazza?
He shouldn't have been standing there.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Why are you running down his baseline?
Because he's running to first base. Isn't that his job?
Yeah, run faster, and then maybe you wouldn't have been in the path of the baseball / shard of wood.
All right, give me a break. Anyhow, stay safe. It's always good talking to you, my friend.
It's great to talk to you as well. Let's do this again soon.
You got it. Jared Carabas of Barstool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.